Awesome. Awesome to have everybody today. It's going to be a really, really cool session. I've been super excited for this. It's called the Ops Manager Solution. So I'm going to share my screen with you now and we will jump in and start having some fun. So here we go. Is everybody seeing a screen? Says the Ops Manager Solution. If you are, can you give me a big double thumbs up? Yes. Awesome. And just so we have a quick tech check, and I know everybody has found the chat box, could you quickly pop into the chat box? I'd love to hear, what was your favorite part of boot camp? What was your favorite thing, your biggest learning? Pop it on in. I know I had a lot of fun last week. 3 days for us, including boardroom, so it's a good little time. Pop it in the chat box. If you haven't done much Zooming before, chat box is just down the bottom. You'll be able to find it. It might look like three dots, and then you'll find the chat box. Dave Motherwell winning the quiz, 100%. What was it? Smarticus, hey? Woo-hoo, the winners. Everyone knows it was rigged, but that's cool. All right, cool. Quiz was fun. Tony, you with Dave M. Yeah, wooden spoon on the quiz, Jenny. A lot of people loving the quiz. Adam Gordon, the toolbox. Yeah, how good, mate. How good. Such a good tool. The motivation, Colin. Epic. Lockie, the business maturity plan. Yep, that's one of my favorites. Chris and Chantel, team structure calculator. Yeah, how good is that? Planning things in advance. Breakout rooms, Dave McConnon. Yep, awesome to mingle with people. Business maturity plan, Matt Lester. Yeah, the motivation, Nick, how good, right? Getting on the bars, mate, that's the way. GP per hour, Ash. Yeah, such a useful tool, such a useful tool. Lauren Lenihan, team structure calculator. And Adrian, the toolbox was great in the business maturity plan. Yeah, I loved it. Awesome couple of days. Hope you got a lot out of it and you'll have plans ahead. So kicking on to today, seems like we've all got the tech under control. Let's get stuck in. So yeah, full transparency. Biggest reason I wanted to do this, guys, is I felt like I'd had the same coaching call about 20 times with a whole bunch of different people that were dealing with a whole bunch of the same issues and questions. The ops manager is obviously a really important position in the business and it can do so much to help you, but there's a bunch of pitfalls that you can run into and a bunch of things that you can do to actually make sure that this works out a lot easier and a lot better in your favor. So what I thought was, instead of having the same coaching call again and again, why not run a webinar and teach it to everybody in one go and also share some ideas amongst ourselves, see what other people are doing and make sure that we can pick each other's brains and do this well. So if you're on board with that, give me a big fist pump to the camera. Awesome. Well, let's get into it. So very first thing, I'm curious, what's brought you here? What's been the big draw card today? Was it something about wanting to get an ops manager? Do you have one already and you're looking to make them more proficient? Have you previously had an ops manager that didn't work out and you're looking to see what you can do differently next time? I'm curious to know. Pop it in the chat box. Let's see what's been the big draw card. Awesome. Not burning out your ops manager. Totally, Simon. It's big, big risk. So it's something we need to make sure we do properly. Dave, planning for the future. Hopefully near. Definitely, mate. Yeah, a very cool position to have when it's up and running properly. Chris Jarvis, clarity around the role and KPIs. Had one that didn't work out. He was overwhelmed. Common theme. Very common theme. So we'll be chatting about that today. Good to see you, by the way, Chris. How are you doing? Jenny, need to get Jason off the tools and think an ops manager will make that happen. Yeah, pretty important thing. Getting off the tools and ops manager is pretty crucial to that. So we'll be covering that. Need to get one, Ricky. Never had one before. Awesome. Well, this is going to be perfect. We're going to be able to have a good look at how to do this properly and make sure that when you get one, it's actually going to work first time. Amanda, need to fix the growing pains. 100%. Yeah, it's going to be pretty important part of that solution. Yeah, Mick, looking into getting one. Obviously, as you rebuild the team, mate, having a good right hand is going to be super, super helpful. So that's going to be pretty important. Adam, I know that you've been wanting one, mate. So yeah, this is hopefully going to be helpful for you. Matt Lester, map out the role. Yep, this will be super helpful. I know with a couple of directors, this is also going to be happy getting helpful, getting clear on who does what will be part of that. Lockie, you have one already. Just want to do some improvements. Yep, so just looking at improving. Dave McConnon, putting on ops manager next 6 months. Yep, cool. Ops manager didn't work out, Lauren. Yep, it's a pretty common theme that we'll be covering. Ops manager Nick, planning for the future team. Glenn, burnt him out. Yeah, mate, exactly. So, pretty common themes here, guys. Everybody's either wanting one or they've got one they want to improve or they've had one they burnt out. So let's get stuck in and look at what we can do differently. So first off, guys, few pretty common problems I see across the board. And some problems we can run into if we don't do this right. So if we don't do this right, One thing I find a lot is that often the ops manager role lacks clarity. So we lack clarity with what's going to make them good and how to actually do this properly. And they lack clarity with how they can succeed and how they can win and how they can work for you. The next problem that I see a lot is that we get burnout. So we take on an ops manager to help us and give us some time back, and then they burn out, or we burn them out, one or the other, but essentially it doesn't stick, and we don't get the long-term benefit we were hoping for. And basically all of this leads us to start again, which is heartbreaking, right? We made the choice to get an ops manager so that we can make things easier and free up time. And so if it doesn't work out, it can be a costly experience and it can be a heartbreaking experience. So pop your hand up if you've had to start again with this role before. Anybody? Anyone burn someone out and had to start again? Yeah, couple. Yeah, pretty tough, right? Not a fun thing to go through. So on the other hand, we got some opportunities. If we can do this right, firstly, we can get a really clear plan, not just for ourselves. Yeah, Nick, burning yourself out, mate. Yeah, when you're everything to everybody, then you're the one getting burned. So in this case, we don't want to burn anyone. That's the idea. But if we can get a clear plan, guys, we can get a clear plan, not just for ourselves, but for your ops manager too. And they'll be clear on what to do and how to win, which leads them to be winning themselves and learning. And when they're winning, you're winning because they're doing well and they're making it easier for you. On the other hand, when they're learning, they're developing, which means that in this case, they get better and better and better and have more and more and more impact on your business. And then lastly, you get it right first time. So pop your hand up if you'd love to get an ops manager and get it right first time. Yeah, wouldn't we all? So that's what we'll be covering today. So guys, five key principles that I want to go through. And they're pretty straightforward. The first one is to get this right, it's really, really important that you clearly, clearly map these roles, okay? So this doesn't just come down to mapping the ops manager role. It comes down to mapping how your role will change and develop with the addition of the ops manager. So what time are you looking to free up? What time are you looking to take off your plate and potentially put onto someone else's? In this case, one question I think is quite important to ask is, what is the ops manager going to be for you? So I know I've talked to a lot of different people about this role, and honestly, I've seen a lot of different job descriptions, and that's not a bad thing. The key is just being clear on what it's going to be to you, what it will do in your business, and what time it's going to free up. That way, you know what you can hold them accountable to, and you know how you can make sure that they succeed. Next principle, you got to hire well. Goes without saying, but in this case, getting the right person in this role is critical, okay? Absolutely critical. And so I know that sometimes finding the right person can be a difficulty. So pop your hand up if you've either had difficulty hiring ops manager before and finding the right person, or you're struggling with that now. Yeah, a couple people. Awesome. So I'd love to know in the chat box, what do you guys think is the most attractive thing that you can do to hire a good ops manager or get someone who's really good to apply? What do you think is the biggest draw card that an ops manager would go for? A good ad? Yeah, Chris. Yeah. What particularly in the ad? What do you reckon is the factor that makes them apply, or the factor that makes good people want to come? Adam Gordon, career progression, for sure. Adam T, you got pay? Quick hands up. If we look at those two things, career progression and pay or benefits, who reckons it's pay and benefits? Few. Who reckons it's career progression? Cool. All right, bit of an even split. So for me, I think the key to hiring this is try to understand what's the key motivators for the type of person who is an ops manager. All right. And there's two main types of people you'll hire into an ops manager. Number one is somebody who's an up and coming gun on the tools, maybe a senior tradesman that's really, really good, who's looking to take more of a step in their career. The other one could be somebody who's already an ops manager, or maybe they're a bit more of a seasoned vet that's looking to pull back or make a change. Either way, this is a change in their career, and it's probably a progression in their career. And honestly, that's a big part of what they want. Okay, the pay is definitely going to be important. You got to pay well, all right? If you don't pay, you know, a pretty competitive rate and you don't have a good package, then yeah, I mean, like, you're not compensating the role properly, and so it's not going to be attractive. But I think what's probably a lot more important to play on when you're trying to attract the right person is that whole idea of career progression, okay? Because in this case, if you have a look at, you know, people that want to be astronomically rich, they'll probably just start their own business eventually. Yeah. Someone that wants to be your ops manager is more likely that they're trying to develop their career so that they can actually help manage your business. All right. Because maybe they're not ready to start their own thing, or maybe they don't want to start their own thing, or maybe they don't have the experience yet to start their own thing. Either way, it's a progression thing more than it's a pay thing. So as long as your pay is competitive and it's actually going to be, you know, well compensating the role, I think actually the career progression is more the thing to focus on. So if you're looking at your job ad and you find that it's all about the pay, it's all about the benefits, it's all about the paid birthday off, maybe I'd rethink it and start looking at how can you push the envelope with this is a career progression. This is going to develop you to learn more about business. This is going to be the next step in the rest of your life. This is going to help you to achieve your goals. Try to think about the things that motivate somebody who wants to be a manager, because they're a motivated person and they're looking for development. People that are unmotivated, they'll stay on the tools. They don't want to manage anybody. Does that make sense? If it is making sense so far, just give me a thumbs up. Cool. So review your ad, see what you're pushing, see if it's the right stuff. Next thing I want to talk about is setting expectations. Now, for anyone to be actually successful in a role, Gino Wickman talks about you need three things. You need to get it, you need to want it, and you need capacity to do it. So what I'm talking about with expectations is getting it, all right? Essentially, with getting it, there's two things. Firstly, I need to understand what's in my job description, okay? So I need to know what it is you want me to do. If you say, I want you to be an ops manager, what does that mean? I could go out and just thrash myself on the tools. Am I being an ops manager? Potentially. In some people's business, that's exactly what they want them to do. On the other hand, I could think it's managing the team, in which case they're going to spend a lot of time training guys and, you know, checking in with them, making sure they're happy. Is that an ops manager? Yeah. Is it what you want? Who knows? They need to know. So in this case, you need to be clear on what the role needs to look like so they can be clear on what the role actually looks like and what they need to do. And from there, you also need to be clear on the expectations of success. So once I know what you want me to do, I need to know what a good job looks like, all right? Because if we think about managing the team, you know, to you, it might be that they do a 20 with the guys every week. It might be that they do all the performance appraisals. It might be they spend 1 hour a month training a staff member. You know, it could be all of that, or it could be none of it. You know, your idea of well-trained staff could be different from my idea of well-trained staff. So they need to be clear on A, exactly what you want them to do, and B, exactly how you want them to do it. Does that make sense? Give me a fist bump if it does. Cool. So one thing I always think about with this is not just understanding the, you know, the expectations of what it looks like, but understanding the consequences and the impact of their tasks. All right. If we look at a job description, a lot of the time there'll be a list of things there. You know, it could have 10, 20 tasks that are important for their role. And if we were to get them to put it in order of importance, with one being the most important and 20 being the least important thing they do, and then you also put them in list of importance with 1 to 20, you might find that your number ones aren't the same and your number 20s aren't the same. And so if they're focusing super hard on the 20th most important thing to you, because it's the first most important thing to them, you're going to think they're doing a bad job and they're going to think they're crushing it, all right? So they need to understand the impact and importance, not just in the first order, but in the second order, third order. What are the consequences? What's the flow on effect? And what's the impact that I have in the business as an ops manager, all right? From there, you need to milestone the wins, all right? Pop your hand up real quick if you would hire an ops manager who is inherently a loser. I didn't think so, right? The type of person who applies to be an ops manager is a winner. The type of person who gets hired to be an ops manager is a winner. And they've probably been a winner their whole life. Now, no judgment, no tall poppies here, but put your hand up if honestly throughout your life, you've been a bit of a winner. You tend to do well at everything you do or a lot of things you do. It might be through God-given talent, might be through hard work. It doesn't matter, but you tend to do a good job. Yeah? Sweet. How does it feel when you lose consistently? Sucks, right? There's a really good series on Netflix at the moment, which is all about losing. It's mainly focused on sport, But one thing it points out is that losing is like a sickness. It's like a disease. And if you're a winner who's conditioned to win and you start to lose, it really, really devastates you. And you get worse and worse and worse and you spiral. And I can tell you this firsthand, if you don't know too much about me, I used to play a lot of pretty high level rugby. And I remember the very highest team I ever got to, I was absolutely over the moon when I got picked. Got given a great contract. I thought I was the man. I called my mom, called my dad, told them, and I was elated. It was the best thing ever. And then I turned up to training on day one, and it was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. Probably took 2 or 3 weeks for me to stop dropping the ball every time it got passed to me. It took me 2 or 3 weeks to tackle people properly because honestly, I was looking at everyone thinking, geez, these are superstars. I've watched that guy on TV my whole life. He's 10 years older than me and he plays, you know, for his country. He's the captain of his national team. All right. So when I go up to tackle him in training, I got bumped off because I was thinking about that. And the hard thing is it started as shell shock, but over the course of the next 3-4 weeks, it ate itself down. And I've never felt lower in my whole life ever than the end of that 4 weeks. I was ready to quit. All right. And it's only because I actually got it explained to me that when you're a winner and you do well at stuff, when you start doing badly, it's hard to take. All right. And so what you actually need to do is you need to pre-plan how you can give yourself some wins and actually build on that momentum. So a really important part of making this role successful is you need to plan out when and how they are going to crush it and then make sure they do. All right. Or otherwise you're putting a winner into a pressure cooker situation where they might not win consistently, and that will cause them to win less and less until they burn out. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we got a milestone that wins. Plan it, make it happen. And last thing is develop a winner. So the key point with that is the first word, develop. Okay. Winners are made, they're not born. It takes time, takes follow through, and it takes effort. So sometimes we can be tempted to think, I'm going to hire an ops manager, I'm going to put them on, and they're going to free up all this time, and it's going to be the best thing ever because I'm finally going to get off the grind. And you hire them, and you chuck them in, and then they go off, and they save the world for all of 24 hours, and you're really happy because you've got rid of some tasks. But if you don't follow through and give them the support and the training and the development, and you know the regularity and of all of these follow-ups, then again, we might not make it stick and we just end up right back where we were. So does that make sense? So then the big thing with this is put in the time and effort, guys, all right? Schedule the meetings, schedule the follow-through, give them a plan and make sure that it's something that you follow through with as much as they follow through with. If you do that, man, you're going to develop someone good. They'll be great when you hire, but they'll be phenomenal once you've had them for a while and worked them through the plan. So I hope that made sense so far. What I'd love to do right now, I'd love to put you guys in some breakout rooms. And basically what I want to do is just have a bit of a chat. So see what's been landing so far. Maybe have a bit of a discussion about what's been the biggest takeaway that you've had so far. And then we'll jump back in and we'll get stuck into some activities. Awesome. All coming back. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a bit of a chat. I know the breakout rooms are never long enough. So hopefully you had a bit of a chat and hopefully you discuss what's been the big takeaways so far. So cracking on, team. Obviously, we've just been through the five keys. The next thing I want to go through is I want to dig a little bit deeper into the concept of the job description. So if everybody grabs out their workbook, if you've got it, if you've got it on your iPad, cool. I've got it here on the iPad. What I'm going to do real quick is I'll run through some exercises. I'm going to share my iPad screen with you now, and we will do them here. So if everybody's seeing my iPad saying Ops Manager Solution, come a thumbs up. Lovely, fantastic. And the first thing I want to do is skip through right now to this page. We've got three very, very crude job descriptions. I hope your job description doesn't look anything like this. But basically, I've just got a quick question for you. Pop it in the chat box. If we've got role number one, role number two, or role number three, which one of these is an ops manager? Let's have a bit of a look. And tell me in the chat box, which one is the ops manager? Simon Jenny says two, Lauren Lenihan two. Roll two, three. Ash Morris, all of them. All Chris Jarvis, two and three, Ricky, two, Mick Osman, all Lockie Campbell, all three, depending on your business. Cool. So the answer is all three, depending on your business. Any one of these could be an ops manager, all right? And this is actually quite important because I think the thing is, sometimes when we hire an ops manager or any role for that matter, we tend to start with the description, all right? Or we start with the title. And what we think is, I need an ops manager because my business is at that point. And so what we do is we say, well, what does an ops manager do? Often what I see is questions in the Facebook group like, does anybody have a job description for an ops manager? Or does anyone have a job description for an estimator? And the first thing I think is, don't start there. Start with what you need, okay? The idea is build the role that's going to help you build your business. Don't stick with what you think it should be traditionally. Because if I hire role two, but I don't need someone to build systems, I'm going to do all the pricing. I'm going to deliver the quotes. I'm going to do the accountability tracking. I'm going to do the 20s. And all I want is someone to run toolbox meetings. Don't hire this role, okay? Because they're going to have way too many things that they think they should be doing, which is not really what's actually going to help. And so you're going to start, you know, basically planning to fail. So what you want to do instead, guys, is get super clear on what an ops manager needs to look like in your business. In fact, put the title out of your mind and start by creating a job description that would be helpful. And from there, what you're able to do is you can call it whatever you want. You might make that job description and figure out that estimator was a better title or office assistant was a better title. And that's totally fine. The key is just figuring out what's going to be helpful for you. So this task here is called a task analysis. It's something that you would have done before most probably. I'd run a module at a bootcamp in March, which was called the Productivity Myth. You can find it under Leadership Webinars. So if you haven't done this task before, that's probably a really good place to start if you're looking at building this role. But what I'd like you to do right now in your workbook is just really quickly, I'll just give you a couple minutes, grab a highlighter and go through and highlight any tasks on here that you would like to not do anymore. All right. So anything you think where it's like, if I wasn't doing that, I'd have more time to do the stuff that's going to be beneficial to my business. If I wasn't doing that, I would love my job a lot more. I love my business a lot more. I'd have more fun. All right. Go through and just have a quick highlight of anything that it'd be really awesome to get off your plate. I don't know. Maybe you don't want to book jobs anymore. Maybe you don't want to do any stock allocation or ordering. Maybe customer care is something which is super important, but honestly, you just never remember to do it. And if someone else could remember to do it, it'd be great. Maybe looking at accountability tracking, doing the staff KPIs. Maybe that's something super critical that you don't love. Yeah, just go through and give a bit of a highlight. So give you a minute or two on the clock. And once you've highlighted a few things, I'd love to know, pop them in the chat box. What are the big things that you want to offload or put onto a different role? Whether it was an ops manager, whether it was an estimator, what's the big thing that you think you'd want to get off your plate? Adam Gordon did this exactly, yeah, before hiring your guy. So worthwhile, recommend it. Dude, I'm going to unmute you, Adam. Why don't you just share what's, you know, what did you do? How was it helpful? How did it work? There you go.
Yeah, I just went through and mapped out everything that I do in a day and just, I don't want to do this. And that was essentially his role. And that's what I worked off from there. Yeah, it was a great starting point.
I'm curious, what's that done for you? What have you been able to do more of now that you've had someone else to take care of stuff you didn't want to do?
Oh, yeah, I was just trapped in the day-to-day. I was just doing ops, just running my guys, and that was it. So no marketing, no business development, or not much anyway, any of that kind of stuff. I tried to do it, or I had to do it at night.
So now you're getting time to do that stuff?
What's that, sorry?
So now you have time to do that stuff?
Yeah. That's pretty much my day is marketing and business development now, so it's good.
Cool. So, I mean, getting that other stuff off your plate's kind of been a two-barrel win, right? Because number one, now you have time to do the marketing, the business development. But number two, when that pays off and you get more work and you need more staff, you also don't have to run those staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So double barrel win, man. How good.
Total win. Yeah.
All right. See you later, Mark Taylor. I see you have to go. That's cool, mate. This will be recorded so you can catch up later. Awesome. Give me a thumbs up if you just had a bit of a brainstorm about what you might want to get rid of or move on to someone else. Cool. Sweet. I'd love to hear it in the chat box. What are you getting rid of, team? What do you want an ops manager to do for you or somebody else for that matter? Couple bullet points. Doesn't need to be the whole list. You might have made a laundry list. I don't know. but yeah, give me some feedback. What do you think of the things that you'd like to create a role with? If you're on the tools, maybe it's that. Maybe you need an ops manager to actually free up some capacity to do jobs. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe you're answering too many phone calls. Maybe you'd like someone else to field phone calls from the guys. Maybe it's that. Don't all put them in at once, team. There we go. Chris Jarvis, supervise staff on the tools, schedule jobs. Yeah, and take training phone calls to the clients. Yeah, 100%. This is awesome. Do toolbox meetings. So yeah, I mean, what would that do for you, Chris? If someone else took care of all of that, what could you do more of? What could you spend more time on? Holidays. Yeah. 100%. Although if I lived where you live, I'd be like, man, it's kind of a permanent holiday sometimes. Hey, look out the window. Beautiful. Sweet. Awesome, guys. Cool. Well, I'm sure you've made a list, even though you're not all telling me at once. That's okay. I think the key with this, guys, is get clear on what are the things that you actually want someone to do. And even if it doesn't fit into a traditional ops manager role, okay, you might find that putting it all together, you call it an ops manager and it helps you more. Okay, that's the idea. So Lauren Lenihan, supervise staff on the tools, monthly KPIs, training the team, performance appraisals, project management. 100%. This looks like an ops manager. All right. Graham Bruce, order materials, schedule jobs, oversee the work. Perfect. Looks like an ops manager. All right. Job scheduling and get the tools. Yeah, sweet as Ryan Scott. Definitely looks like an ops manager. All right. On the other hand, if the only thing you're putting down is pricing and quoting and winning work, hey, maybe you call it an estimator and it still does the same thing. But Chris, hey, to your question, what about pricing and quoting? Yeah, if you wanted somebody to do both, you know, you might find that it's actually possible for someone to supervise the staff, schedule the jobs, do team training, and do pricing and quoting. If that's possible, maybe you can find that person in one. On the other hand, if you find that you've got so much work to price that's 40 hours a week worth of pricing and quoting and estimating winning work, you might have two roles on your hands. So I think the next key is about how much time really needs to get dedicated to those things. I know you, again, if you've got a reasonable size team, then actually looking after the staff is quite a long time. So in this case, like two roles might be more realistic. So the next thing I want to do, guys, is bring you to this little model here. So if everyone's seeing two circles, can you give me two thumbs up for two circles? Epic. This is a really important point. Okay. One thing I see a lot is that when people create this role, basically they have a situation where their time is split into a whole bunch of different tasks. Okay. What they find is a big portion of what they do is valuable. It's what I would call their genius zone. So if you do that productivity myth exercise from the March bootcamp, you'll find out about genius zone. It's stuff that has huge impact, that's really valuable to the business, that you love doing and you're great at. And so there'll be a percentage of what you do which lives there. And what you really want to be able to do is do more of that stuff. Okay. But you can't, because you've got a certain amount of personal commitment, which does take up your time. All right. Hopefully it's more than that. But, you know, if you're overworking yourself because you're an overachiever, then let's be honest, it's probably a small sliver of the pie. But more importantly, there's a big sliver of the pie, which is stuff that I would say is not as important. It's still operationally important. It still has to happen. But if you could focus your time into this section and do more of that, it will really drive the business forward. For example, Adam Gordon doing more on the marketing and, you know, business development, bringing in new work, that kind of stuff is going to be super, super critical to driving his business forward. But he couldn't do it at the start because he was spending time on all of the other stuff he's now given to his ops manager. This is where it gets interesting, though. What we then do is we think, cool, well, I want to get rid of this. Sorry, there we go. I want to move all of this over here to a new role. And so what I'm going to do is create one based on all the things that I found here in my task analysis that I'd like to get off my plate. But the thing we don't account for is, compared to mere mortals, you are probably Superman-Superwoman, all right? No one will ever work as hard in your business as you work, because it's your business. And the other thing is, you've been doing this for a long time and doing it your way your whole life, because you know your way. You are your way. When you bring a stranger into the mix who doesn't know your way, doesn't know you, isn't familiar with your systems, and is just getting their handle on things, something that took you 20 hours a week is going to take them 40 hours a week. All right. And not only that, but there was a bunch of stuff which lived out here in the open that you weren't getting to. And you wanted to get it done now because you've got extra capacity. So then what you do is you take that and you put that in here as well. And that fills up that spot. In fact, it fills up more than that. And so what you really end up with is this situation right off the bat. And where you thought you were giving them 30 hours of your time, a lot of the time what I find is you got a business owner working 60 to 80 hours a week who wants to work 40 hours a week. So they take 30 hours of their stuff and create a new role with it. But that 30 hours takes 45 hours. And then they add a bunch of stuff they'd also like to get done, which is another 20 hours. And then there's also admin time, learning and getting used to stuff, which is another 10 hours. And they have a life. And basically you hire somebody into an 80 or 90 hour a week role and they burn out. If that resonates with anybody, can you put up your hand? Honesty call. Yeah. So guys, if you do that, you're setting yourself up for failure, but more importantly, you're setting them up for failure, and it's just not fair, okay? It doesn't mean that they were a bad hire. It doesn't mean it was the wrong role. What you need is to create a situation where the person is actually able to perform, and it's realistic that they might get their head around this. It doesn't mean that they will never cope with this workload. It just means they won't cope with that workload in week one. Or week two or week three. So Chris, you put a good question. When can you expect a return on investment? How long's a piece of string? It really depends on what you want them to do. You know, if we look at these job descriptions down here, if being on the tools is 80% of the role and they're a qualified tradesman, oh geez, you see return on that pretty quick. You know, but on the other hand, if they're a really epic tradesman and the reason you're hiring them is because they have heaps of potential, but they've never managed a team before. These are going to be really new concepts. It doesn't mean they won't get them. It doesn't mean they won't do a good job. It just means there's learning involved. Does that make sense? And so the key is some people learn faster than others. Some people also learn better than others. Some people seem like they know what they're doing, but they need to fail a couple of times. All right. Generally, the way people learn stuff is you teach it to them, they get it, they go do it themselves, they look like they're all good, they screw it up, you teach them again, all right, they go back, they do all right, they screw something else up, you teach them again, and this is normal, all right? It probably takes 3 or 4 iterations of really nailing something home before they'll actually be able to do it on their own. So what I think is probably wise is when you're going through your task analysis, plan the rollout for what you want it to be, all right? And then when you hire the person or you promote them into the role, it's probably a really good idea to go through the job description with them early on, test their competence and their skill levels with certain things, and be really honest with each other around what do they already know how to do really well. Anything they already know how to do really well goes into the default diary. Anything they don't know how to do at all that's brand new is something that they need to learn. So it's not something they need to do. It doesn't go into their default diary. It's not something that they do in week one. Anything that they kind of know how to do, again, doesn't go into the default diary. And that's probably where I would start with teaching them, is the stuff they kind of know, but kind of don't. So if you think about it like a traffic light, Green stuff is stuff I can do right now because I already do that or I know how to do it. I'm gold at it and you've tested me. All right. Orange or yellow is stuff that I kind of know how to do. I kind of understand the concept, but I need some help and training. And red is I've never done that before. I really need some help to learn that long term. Green stuff is stuff to do now. All right. And if you only focus on that as the only deliverables and measurables to start with, then it's going to be a lot easier for them to get wins. Okay. Secondly, is start training them on the orange stuff, the yellow stuff. Because if you can get them, that's probably something that you can teach them relatively quick because they already have some idea. And if you can get them up to speed on that quicker, you got 60% of their role ticked off and they're 60% productive as far as what's perfect. And longer term, you work on bringing the red stuff through. Does that make sense? Cool. So if you're a young aspiring ops manager and you got hired into the role and someone broke it down like that and gave you a portion of the role to do now, a portion of the role that we'll work on learning, and a portion of the role that we will focus on once you learn that second portion, do you think that that would be probably an easier, more manageable and palatable experience than getting given a whole role right off the bat and trying to learn all of it at once? Yeah? Yeah, me too. So I think the key is, guys, is break it down and give them a chance to actually win. Yeah? Cool. So next thing I wanted to cover off is I wanted to do a little bit of an exercise basically on the wins. So like I said, milestoning the wins is a really, really important part of actually helping them to succeed. So I'm curious, all right, what are some ideas you guys might have, all right, on how you could give them wins up front? What are some things that you could do with them that will make them feel like they're winning or getting it, doing a good job? Have a bit of a think. I'm going to pop you into a breakout room for just a couple of minutes, and I want you to share with each other what are some wins that you can provide for a young ops manager or someone who's just coming into the role. How can you give them some things that they can actually succeed at straight away? People rolling back in. Awesome. Cool, guys. I'd love to hear. Hopefully some good chat. What are some examples of wins you can provide? Pop them in the chat box. I'd love to know. Big, small, medium, what can you do or what can you pre-plan or what can you arrange to happen? Pay scales. Yeah, Adam, they can work through some pay scales. So maybe they start off on one rate and as they achieve different milestones, maybe they get some different pay rates. Who knows? Maybe they bump up. What else, guys? What would be an example of a win you can provide for an ops manager? Well, let me know. Yeah, and can be little things, guys. One thing I think is a really good win is when they start and they turn up on day one, do you have a welcome pack for them? All right. Are you going to have a team lunch or something like that? Or maybe there'll be beers after work on day one. I know Tim Davies, I'm not sure if I can see you right now, but I know you're on the call somewhere. For you, I know when you got your estimator and they landed their first big job, you took them out for dinner, right? Yeah, so again, like celebrate it. The first big win, give them something. Chris, you talk more about would you employ someone that was technically sound and better at managing people? Agreed, it's difficult to find both skills. Can be. I suppose the key is actually the very first thing is get clear on what you want. Do you want someone who's technically sound or do you want someone who's going to manage your team? Yeah. If you want someone to manage your team, get someone who can manage your team. If you want someone technically sound, I'd say, why do you want someone technically sound? Is it because you also want them to price work? Is it because you want them to be able to see what's a job well done? Because again, for me, like if to see what's a job well done, this depends on the size of your team, right? I was talking to one of our clients this morning. He's got 60 staff. His ops manager doesn't have anything to do with jobs. He manages managers. So he doesn't need to know anything about the minutiae of a job. He needs to know whether or not their manager has a happy team. So it's a very different role than if I'm an ops manager in a business of five. Because if I'm an ops manager in a business of five, I'm probably also a tradesman, right? So yeah, I probably better have a pretty good technical knowledge. But again, remember, if the technical knowledge is too good, there's always going to be a little bit of a balance here where someone asks me a question and what's going to be my temptation? Oh, mate, It's a hard one. I'll just do it for you. Cool. And then what happens? You end up with a manager who's not managing shit. They're a tradesman. Yeah? Who gets paid way too much. So in this case, guys, try to think about what's the priority for you. If we think about those typical job descriptions before, you know, if the big thing you wanted to get off your plate was that you've got a team of 15 and you don't have time to do 15 20s a week, and that's one of the biggest things, then think about it. A huge portion of their 40-hour week is just chatting with people about how are they doing. Technical knowledge is not the biggest priority. Again, if you've got a team of 15, you probably have project managers as well, or you probably have some leading hands or, you know, foreman or something like that, which maybe the technical knowledge is more important for them. But like I say, in a smaller business, technical knowledge will be more important, but team management skills, as long as they can do a little bit of the soft skills, are going to be less important because they're managing three people. You know, managing three people is not as hard as managing 23. So think about the needs for your business, guys. And whatever you think the most hours will go to, that's the biggest priority. Yeah. So it doesn't start with what's the best hire as an ops manager. If we ask that question, we're thinking about the ops manager as a set role again. It starts with what's the role that I need done in the business. And if I happen to call it an ops manager, is by the by. Once I know that, it's easy to know what to hire for. Hope that makes sense. If it does, just give me a thumbs up. Epic. Sweet. So the next thing I want to talk about, guys, is the follow through. So for me, the follow through are the things that you can do to make sure this role sticks. Okay. It's the things that you can do to make sure that you invest now, work hard with someone now, so that they can free up your time later. Tony earlier, he popped in the chat box. He said the job starts once you've hired the person. Yeah. A lot of the time with an ops manager, we think I'll get an ops manager and then I'll have more time. No, you'll get an ops manager and then you'll have less time because you'll be training your ops manager. Once the ops manager is up to speed, then you'll have heaps more time and you can really kick on and crush it. All right. But if you don't do the hard work, guys, it doesn't often work. You got to kind of find a unicorn, which is harder. So put the work in. So I'm curious, chuck in the chat box, what are some things that you can do to make sure that you follow through and you make it stick? Is it extra time that you can give? Is it clarity that you can give? Is it training that you can give? What does that look like? Chuck in the default diary, 100% Adam Gordon. Make time, block it out. Like, don't try to train them in the gaps. Like, hey, if I get time at the end of the day, I'll put some effort into my ops manager. No, make it a priority. It's a big rock. Put that in first. Remember, investing in this now is going to pay off big time later. So make it a priority. What else can we do? Induction process, Lockie, epic. If you haven't checked out a training called the employee induction process, it's under team webinars. It's killer. If you do that, then when people start, they're going to feel so appreciated. It's a win right off the bat before they even do anything. So they'll start on the right foot. Be deliberate about training, David. Yeah, Dave Motherwell, that's spot on, mate. Like, it's like I was saying, if you know what's the things that you want to focus on first, then you can be really deliberate about what you train them on. There's nothing worse than sitting down for a training session and it starts with, right, mate, what do you want to learn? And they're like, I don't know. And you're like, cool, well, let me give you all the pearls of wisdom from my 40 years on the tools. And they're like, oh, here we go. You know what I mean? Like, be deliberate. What are you going to teach them and why are you going to teach them that? Okay. Jenny Vern, regular check with how they're doing every day. Yeah, 100% check in with them. Be there. Be a support network. Chris, go through the job description every week and tick off what they feel on top of. What do they want to work on? That is gold. If I'm going through and I'm ticking off what they're getting more competent at, what are those? Those are wins. Hey, every time they do something well, you tick it and they're like, yeah, I got it. I'm improving. And you're like, yeah, scamp, go on, mate. You're improving. They're going to feel amazing. Not only that, but if I'm going through every week, I'm reminding them. You know, most people, when they start a job, they read their job description once. It's when they sign the contract. Yeah. After that, it's done. All right. If you bring it up every week and you get them to read it every week, what does it do? It sticks. Yeah. And now they're clear. They know what they're doing. They know how to win. They know what they're focused on. All right. It sets them up so much better. I've heard a really cool term. I can't remember who said it, but we think about a CEO. They said, rephrase that as a CRO. You're not a chief executive officer. You're chief reminding officer. All right. You remind your staff what to do and how to do it. And if you remind them enough, they'll do it well. All right. If we go down, TIG pain, time, clarity, follow through, have a plan. 100%, mate. You've got to put the time in. You've got to be clear on what you're spending it on. You've got to actually do it. Yeah, that's the follow through. And have a plan. Follow a structure. You know, make a development plan for them. If it's going to be, if you've worked out what's the green stuff, what's the yellow stuff, what's the red stuff, cool. So green's in the default diary now. Yellow, sweet. Week one, we're working on this. Week two, we're working on that. Week three, we're working on that. Week four, we can do these two things because they're easy. Week five, we can work on that. Making development plans is not hard, guys. You just pick something and work on it that week and pick something else and work on it the next week and just put it into a timeline. Gives them milestones to achieve, things to tick off, like Chris said, wins that they can get. Tim, schedule meetings with them, 100%. Big thing with this is also a feeling of support. When I, as I said with my rugby analogy earlier, the thing which actually helped me get back on track and crush it was I had support. Right? I had a lot of support. We actually had a mental skills coach, which was really handy. But on top of that, they pair new players with older players. And what would happen is you spend time with these older guys and they'd say to you, hey, Phil, I noticed you dropped the ball a lot this week. And I was like, ah, shit, here we go. He's going to tell me I suck and I don't belong here. And then he said to me, mate, I did the same thing in my first week. It took a month before I stopped dropping the ball. And I was like, oh, really? And he explained to me why I was doing it and explained to me what I need to focus on to not do it anymore. So put the time in, you know, like be a support network. But follow through, guys. That's the key. The more you follow through with this, the more effort you put into making it stick, the better it will stick. And then last thing is understand the learning curve, okay? So in this case, this is actually a stock image. Just before anyone asked me what this little plan, design, develop, test, you'll notice the words underneath that are gibberish. So don't try to read them in a hurry. Then it's not a real thing. It's just a picture. But it does follow a bit of a thing which I find quite interesting. And for me, I think whenever you learn something, it's like I said, you tend to learn something, you plan for it, you figure it out, you design it in your head, you develop it. But after that, one of the things and the reason I picked this image is you test it. All right, give it a try, you know, deploy it and then review it. Maybe you put a plan in place, maybe you start working through stuff. Maybe it doesn't make sense and you're like, oh, okay, cool. We need to do this differently. It's not working. But, oh, hang on. I'm not sharing my screen. That's super helpful. Thank you, Adam Gordon. Epic. There we are. Cool. But even then, guys, like I said, please don't try to read the notes. They're gibberish. But what I'm looking at here is we make a plan. We design that plan. We get real clear. We develop what we're doing, but then we test, right? And after we test, we deploy. We give it a crack. And after deploy, we review. And you know what happens after you review? You actually probably go back and test again and then try that and review it and go back, test again and try that and review it. And when someone learns something, it's the same. They learn the thing. They give it a try. They get reviewed. It's not perfect. So you go back and learn again, and we go round and round the circle until we're ready to get out of it again. Does that make sense? Yeah? Cool. So don't expect them to crush everything off the bat, guys. You've got to spend the time. You've got to teach. All good? So I'm real curious to know what's been most valuable for you from the session. What's been the biggest things that you think you could change or action right now that are going to help you to do this better in the future or do it right the first time? Up in the chat box, milestone the wins, Ash Morris, 100%. So important. You're hiring a winner. Keep them winning, all right? Even if it's little stuff, little wins turn to big wins. Keep that momentum strong, okay? What else, guys? What else have you learned today? Review the JD often, 100%, Adam Gordon. Yeah, the more you go through the JD, the more they'll remember it, all right? The more they'll follow it. So important. Nick Jones, have a structured plan with milestones to achieve. Yeah, really hard for me to succeed if I don't know what I should be succeeding in and when I should be doing it. Matt Lester, week-by-week development plan, green, orange, yeah, traffic lights, that's the one. Cool, Chris Jarvis, task analysis. What does your business need? 100%. Figure out what you need in the business. Don't just hire a traditional role that it might not actually fit. Create your job description for what you want and need. Tim Davies, yeah, same thing. Graham Bruce, traffic light system, sound like a ripper. 100%. And that's for any role, guys, not just an ops manager. Anyone you hire, there'll be stuff they know straight away, stuff they kind of know, and stuff they don't know. So get them stuck into the stuff they know. They'll crush it. They'll get the wins. Work on the stuff they kind of know, because that's easy development for you, and then you can tackle the harder stuff. Tick of the TA's JD list weekly. Yeah, Chantel, 100%. Gives them something to work towards. So milestones they can tick. Development plan, Glenn. Yeah. Understand exactly what you want to hire the person for, Hanshu. 100%. That's real pertinent to you guys as well, because you've actually got a bit of structure off the tools. So for you guys, the actual dynamic between a new person into that, or you know, reshaping your own roles so that somebody fits more of that description. The big thing is that when you put in a new role, it doesn't just create that role, it changes all the roles around it. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. The traffic light, Lauren, 100%. Getting the job description right, Jenny. And yeah, map the role, develop them, Mick, 100%. Again, we got to create a winner. Winners are made, they're not born. So last thing I'd like to do is I want to jump into one more breakout room, and we'll just do about 5-10 minutes. That we'll do 7 minutes just to make it nice and round. And what I want you to do is just have a real quick discussion with what are the things that you're going to do differently moving forward. What can you implement, or what can you get started on so that you can work towards getting this in place in your business? Have a bit of a chat, all right? And then we'll come back, and that'll be us for the day. So I'm opening the rooms now. Jump in when you're ready. Have a chat. What are you going to do, all right? What can you implement? Awesome, guys. Welcome back. Cool. All right. Hopefully that was helpful. Hope you guys had some really good learnings and some things you can put in place. I'm going to pop a post up on the Facebook group just basically to pop your top takeaways. I'd love to see what was the most impactful for you and what you're going to do next. That's really the biggest thing I want to see. What are the action points that you're going to take in your business? So hopefully that's what you just discussed. So pop that up in the post I'm going to put on the Facebook group. I'd love to see it. But yeah, guys, a big one for me is map the role first. Okay. What is it that you need? So if you haven't watched the Productivity Myth, it was from the March virtual bootcamp. All right. You can also find it under Leadership Webinars. It's right there. And you'll find there's a workbook that goes with it. It's super helpful. If you do that activity, it'll help you get clear on what you want to do more of. Once you know what you want to do more of, it's really easy to take everything else and create a role, right? And you might find the role's an ops manager. You might find it's extra office help. You might find it's an estimator. You might find it's all of the above. But once you're super clear on that, guys, you can plan what you want the role to be in its complete form. From there, go and hire that role. And remember, focus on career development and creating future. These people want future and development and learning and creating a career for themselves. Probably even more than they want pay. Okay. They do want competitive pay, but don't make that your number one selling point, all right? Get in the mind of these people. They want a future. They want development. They want a career, okay? So get into that state. Hire the right person. Go through the JD with them. Break it down. Figure out your traffic lights. Green, yellow, red. What can they do now? What do we work on first? What do we work on later? And map that into a development plan, okay? And that way, every week, you can go through it with them. How are they tracking? What are they learning? What are they winning at, which you'll celebrate? And what are they still working on, which you'll work with them on as a follow through? If you follow that process, guys, you will make this role work, okay? And if you make this role work, geez, life is good, right? Yeah, good stuff. Awesome, guys. Well, I had heaps of fun today. I hope that was helpful. If you've got any other questions, again, chuck them in the post that I'm going to put on the Facebook group. But most importantly, pop up, what's your action steps? I'd love to see what you're going to do next. Get stuck in, get that ops manager hired, get them up and running. Enjoy the benefits, guys. It's going to be super cool. So have a great day. And I'll see everybody tomorrow on the Q&A. So see you later.